Well, it's good for us to be together today to worship God. If you're a newcomer in this gathering, I hope it'll be a good time for us all together, a time that we are aware of God's presence and reflecting on how God is moving in our life and in our world. And we will be strengthened to pay attention more to all that God's doing. I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer. If there will be a moment where you can name a name or a concern aloud, if you'd like to. And then we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord of life and God of mercy, giver of every good thing, we praise you that with your word you spoke and called the world into being. We give thanks that in the fullness of time you came as your expression of yourself in Jesus, the Word made flesh. And we're grateful for every word of good news we hear, for every kindness showed to us, for people who understand us, and for people who ask and inquire how we're doing. For those who say, how are you doing, and really mean it. Lord, we give thanks. We praise you for those who grieve today. Be with the Bowers. Be with Regina and Joanna and all of their family and Marty's death. Lord, be with those who face tests in the coming days and weeks. Guide their doctors and caregivers. That they'll discover just what needs to be done. Lord, we pray for those who seek work. We pray for those who serve and who offer themselves so that we might be safe and free. We pray for people far away from home and those close to us. Be with all who are sick and seeking new strength. Lord, hear the prayers your people offer. Oh Lord, for these we love and care for and offer to you, heal, help, comfort, and strengthen. Oh Lord, we have no help in heaven or earth but you. And so we turn our faces fully to you, opening our lives in and through and with Jesus, who taught us how to pray and to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to hear a reading from Luke's Gospel. It's from the seventh chapter. It begins with verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind Jesus at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who's touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, he replied, speak. A certain creditor had two debtors, and one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, You've judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she's anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Then he said to her, Your sins are forgiven. And those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, Who is this that even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, source of our life, giver of all help, show us the meaning of your word for our living. In Jesus' name, amen. From ancient times, it has been assumed that the Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke that I just read from, is the same Luke who was a physician, a doctor. And he traveled around with St. Paul, preaching all around the Mediterranean. We've assumed it's the same Luke the physician, Luke the writer, that we've assumed they're the same one. And Luke was a physician. We don't know what medical specialty he had, if he had a specialty, you know, was he a specialist? I vote for ophthalmology. Helping people with diseases of the eye. And the reason I say that is because of all the times in his writing, he talks about how people see clearly or they can't see. The opening of the Gospel of Luke is when baby Jesus is born. And the shepherds come and they see Mary and Joseph and the baby. Then there's this line. They return home praising and glorifying God for all they have seen. It's about the eye. You move on. A week, baby Jesus is 8 days old, and his mom and dad take him up to the temple. A little baby in arms, and this old man Simeon is up there. And when Simeon encounters them, he says, Now I can go and die in peace. For my eyes have seen the salvation of God. Jesus goes to Nazareth, his hometown, preaches his first sermon. He stands up and said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bring recovery of sight to the blind. There it is again. You remember the story where Jesus is healing and the friends take the roof off the house and they lower Jesus down through the roof on this sort of a sling, a stretcher. And when Luke tells that story, his last line, the crowd says, We have seen strange things today. Jesus is always healing blind people again and again. And when Jesus dies on the cross, Luke is the one who tells us the centurion, the Roman soldier in charge of the execution squad. Luke is the one who says, when he sees how Jesus dies, he says, surely this man was innocent. And at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, there's a story that only Luke tells. It's about these two disciples, brokenhearted, walking on the road to Emmaus. And this stranger comes and walks with them. And they don't know who it is, but it's Jesus, but they can't see. And then the story says they ask him to stay for dinner. He breaks the bread and blesses it and gives to it. And it says, their eyes were opened in the breaking of the bread. It's all about seeing in the Gospel of Luke. It's all about people who perceive Jesus and they get it. They see deeply. They understand. Or people who just miss it. They see or they don't see. You could sort of divide the people up. They've got good vision or they've got vision problems. Well, in today's story, an observant Jew, an Orthodox Pharisee who tries very diligently to keep the law of Moses, hosts a dinner party for Simon. His name is Simon. He hosts the party for Jesus. Now, this Simon is not the same as Simon Peter, who was a fisherman. Two different Simons in the story. Now, it was a Roman-style dinner, apparently, in a Roman-style house. And a Roman-style house would be built around a courtyard. And then it would have a gate onto the street. But every room would open onto the courtyard. They'd usually build it around a big shade tree. And you know, in the hot Palestinian summers, that would be the coolest place, you know, the breeze coming in through the gate. And so they have a Roman house with a courtyard outdoors for eating, and the table is a Roman-style table. That would be a little short table, not a table like we sit in with chairs at this level. It would be a little Roman table about this high, and it would be U-shaped, like a rounded-off horseshoe. And people would be eating around the outside, but they wouldn't sit. They would recline. If you were at a very fine dinner, that meant you would lay on your left side with your legs and feet stretched out this way. You would be leaning on your elbow, resting on your elbow with your shoulder up next to the table. Kind of put your food at your mouth at food level, which, you know, that's kind of handy. That's how you would do at a nice dinner party. And you'd be around the outside, and the servants would come in the middle of the horseshoe. And that's where they'd bring plates and take them away. Well, when Simon the Pharisee set up this dinner party and hired a caterer, it never occurred to him he needed to hire a bouncer. But boy, somewhere between the appetizers and the main course, Simon is wishing he had hired a bouncer, because this woman walks in, comes through the gate, off the street, and when he sees her, he's thinking, oh, Lord, I can't believe she has come to my party. A notorious woman. Everybody in town knows what this woman has done and what this woman is doing. A notorious sinner. She is crying, sobbing, blubbering, and she comes into the dinner party. And before Simon can get up on his feet, you know, and intercept her, or before he can catch the eye of some of the waiters and the servers to get her out of here, show her the gate, she is standing at Jesus' outstretched feet. And to Jesus' horror, to Simon's horror, she kneels down. She's crying. Her tears fall on his feet, and then she takes her hair, and a dignified, respectful Jewish woman would have her hair up, but this woman, her hair, it's there, and she wipes his feet with it. She cries. She begins to kiss his feet, and then she pulls out a little white carved stone box, and she opens it, and she begins to pour it on Jesus' feet, and Simon scrunches up his nose and gets this smell, this perfume, and it just fills the whole place. And she's poured the whole thing out on Jesus, his guest of honor.
the guests are embarrassed. What do you do? Simon is mortified. This woman is so out of line, so over the top, making a scene like that. Simon doesn't come right out and say what her sin is, but he mutters under his breath something about her highly inappropriate way of touching Jesus. And in his surprise, that Jesus doesn't stop her. You know, the only one who is not uncomfortable, the only one who is not flustered in this story is Jesus. And Jesus simply tells Simon a story, a little three-sentence parable about two debtors, one of whom owed a man 50 denarii. That's about 2 months' salary. And one who owes 500 denarii. That's 2 years' salary. And the creditor forgave them both, just wrote them off. And Jesus says to Simon, well, who do you think would love him more? And he said, well, I guess the one who owed the most. And then, verse 44, Jesus asked the vision question. Simon, do you see this woman? It's right there. Another question about seeing. Simon, do you see this woman? Oh, Simon sees her all right. Yeah, I see her. What he sees standing before him is a gate crasher, a sinner, an outsider, an intruder, whose boorish, awful manners have made a scene, somebody who has embarrassed everybody. He sees a woman whose past disqualifies her from being part of the family of God. He sees somebody who is the opposite of everything he and his friends are. I mean, they are upstanding members of the synagogue. They study the scriptures every day. Pharisees do. His supper club, it is upright people. It is insiders. They are well behaved. They are God's people, favored and chosen by God and doing God's will, deserving of the companionship of God. That's what Simon sees. But Jesus sees something else. Jesus sees through the eyes of a loving Father God. He sees through the eyes of the one who created this woman, precious in his sight. Jesus sees someone who discovers that in spite of her sin, she is a daughter of God. Jesus sees someone who, yeah, she's acting in a surprising, extravagant, over-the-top, peculiar way. But you know, when somebody has experienced grace, they know it is over-the-top, it is extravagant, it is peculiar, it is amazing, this grace of God. This woman who had believed that she was an outsider to God, she discovers, and she must have discovered it through the teachings of Jesus or some encounter with Jesus. We don't know the back story. But she sees she's not an outsider. She's beloved of God. And she is dear and she is precious to God. And Jesus takes up for her. Maybe her actions are somewhat edgy, unconventional, a little lacking in finesse. Okay, it's a breach of etiquette. Okay, all right, it's just tacky what she did. But Jesus sees that her heart is true and that she acts out of gratitude and love. It's like that card that some preschooler made for you and it's on your refrigerator under a couple of magnets. I mean, maybe the spelling is wrong, and maybe the figure they drew on it is one big eyeball, one big face with arms coming out of it and legs coming out of it, you know. But it is a work of art. Hallmark never made a more beautiful card, a thing of beauty. It is something from a child who blesses your life. It is beautiful. And maybe some children in your life get a little extravagant, and they make a huge mess in the kitchen in their creativity. And when they bring it out, you with the candles, you've never quite seen a birthday cake like that. I mean, you know, the layers go like this. And there is every color of frosting on it that could be made. But it is a gift of love. No chef, not even the Ace of Cake, ever made a cake like that. There is not another one you would rather have. It is perfect because it was offered in love and received in love. And maybe that painted rock that was was a Bible school craft. It sits on your desk. It's a paperweight. You wouldn't swap it for an emerald the same size because of the love between you and the one who made it. Jesus sees this woman just like that, through the eyes of grace. Simon cannot see the grace and the beauty and the gift in her gestures, but Jesus takes up for her. Jesus tosses a sort of gentle rebuke toward Simon. Simon, who thinks he is the source of all knowledge about etiquette, and Simon, who sees the worst in others but the best in himself. Simon, who is an expert, who has 20/20 vision in spotting sin in other people. You ever know anybody like that? To him, Simon, Jesus says, Simon, when I got here to this party, your servants and you were so busy, you didn't offer me, a place to wash up after my trip. You didn't offer me, a bowl of water and a towel. You didn't offer me that, but that's okay. This woman has washed my feet with her tears, dried my feet with her hair. And Simon, you were so busy with the other guests, you didn't do the customary thing and hug me and kiss me on both cheeks like you usually do when the guest of honor gets it, but that's all right. She's been kissing my feet. And Simon, you didn't have a little oil there for me to sort of freshen up with and comb my hair, but that's okay. This woman has given me this most expensive perfume, most expensive thing she owned. That's how Jesus is. He has this knack for seeing the grace, honoring the gift. He sees the grace others miss. When those guys back in that story where these guys climb up on the roof and they start to tear the roof tiles off and lower the guy, everybody else says, what are those idiots doing on the roof? But Jesus sees this amazing friendship and this amazing confidence in people. And it's enough to heal. The faith of the ones carrying the stretcher heals. And on another day, when all these parents are bringing their children to Jesus for Him to bless, and the disciples see just these noisy, sticky-handed, runny-nosed interruptions, Jesus, He sees them as models of what the kingdom of God is like. It's about energy, and it's about enthusiasm, and it's about fun, and it's about joy. Jesus sees differently. One day, Jesus is in Jericho, and people say, look up there. Look at that guy up in that tree. Is that little guy Danny DeVito? Is that who that is up in the tree? And someone says, no, that's not. That's Zacchaeus. And they see him as a sawed-off bully who extorts money from his fellow Jews to send to Rome. But Jesus looks at him, and he sees something different. He sees somebody with the capacity to change. And he sees somebody who has the ability to be enormously generous to the poor. Jesus says, I'm eating at your house today. When they're up at the temple, they see these people come in with, big bags of money, and they hear them pour the coins over into the treasury box, all this silver and gold, and it makes a great rushing sound. And then this little lady comes up, a little widow, and she got two little half pennies, and she drops in the treasury. It's just a plink, plink. And everybody else looks at her, and they think, what good is that? But Jesus sees the world, and he sees a heart of generosity. He sees a model of giving, a happy giver. He sees somebody who gives everything they have. Everybody else looks at Simon Peter and sees a loud mouth, blustering, a guy, as somebody said, he never opened his mouth except to change feet. That's what everybody sees. But Jesus, he sees this rough fisherman as somebody who has courage, who can steer the infant church into these uncharted waters, and who can be a fisherman for men and women and boys and girls. That's what Jesus sees. And on that Friday afternoon, when people are standing, looking up at these three crosses, and they see this thief on the end there, and they see him, and they hear him ask Jesus for forgiveness. And they think, it's a little bit late. You should have thought of that 2 or 3 years ago. But Jesus, in his own agony, sees something different. He sees somebody on their way to God. Jesus just sees differently. You do know, don't you, that this story is not about the ancient Pharisees. It's not about how narrow-minded or blind they were. You know this story is about us, don't you? All the scriptures are. It's about seeing others as Jesus sees them. It's about seeing others through the eyes of Jesus. It's about everyone you meet looking to see in them the image of God who made them, that He planted in them. Now, it may be obscured. It may be distorted. It may be tarnished. But it's in there somewhere. It's about recognizing that everybody we meet is struggling with some great struggle in their life. And recognizing that everybody's back is up against the wall. It's about when we have to judge, we will judge with mercy. Because that is what Jesus does for us. He looks on us with mercy. He judges us with mercy. He sees in us more than we can see in ourselves. He sees us not for what we were or even what we are, but what we can be by His help. When Jesus looks at us, He sees not the sin, but the love. He sees not the failure, but the love. Jesus looks at us in love, and He sees that holy part in us. Well, in the next part of the story, as the story moves on, Jesus will be kissed again near the end. But the next kiss will be given by Judas. It'll be a kiss of betrayal. We'll be in the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus is identified to His executioners. It's Judas who gives it this time. What is interesting, this is the same Judas who just a few hours before had his feet washed by Jesus. Who knows? Now maybe we know where Jesus got that idea. It was a drastic, dramatic thing to do, and Jesus had seen a woman do it to great effect at another dinner party. And when Jesus washes feet, Judas's and all the rest, he scandalizes them. It is this extravagant gift. It's over the top. But that is what saves us. And that is why we can go in peace. Amen. I invite you to join me in a psalm. It's 103. I'm going to say a line, and you just say it back to me. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and all that is within thee. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord. Do not forget all His benefits. Bless the Lord. Do not forget all His... Who forgives all your iniquity. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward us. As far as the east is from the west, so far He removes our transgressions from us. Amen. Jesus told the woman, your sins are forgiven, go in peace. And so may you go in peace. Knowing that God has looked on you with eyes of love, so may you look with others with eyes of compassion. Go in the name of the one who loves us, His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.